All right, let's go gangbuster.
Hey, we're back. I'm Gary James. I'm waiting for Nostradamus to show up. Got a little chilly today, a little cold out, but we got a few things we want to discuss and talk about. And I know one thing, he better hurry up. Time's running out. But we got a few things we want to talk about. Definitely want to talk about the NFL for a few minutes. Some of the local music scenes coming around here. There is some new acts coming up, which is good to hear. A lot of outdoor venues are starting to pull out of the COVID-19 stuff. So the amphitheater is going to be rocking again this year. A little easier than last year. A lot of outdoor shows are happening. So everything's starting to take a turn for the better, thank God. It's just kind of how ironic. The mask mandates got dropped all of a sudden. So as soon as Nostradamus jumps in here, we're going to touch on a couple of things, and we'll take off with the State of the Union, I think, the speech that Biden gave. Boy, that was shocking. A little screwed up there. But we'll see what goes on. Of course, the mainstream media doesn't tell you everything, but they thought it was excellent. And by the approval ratings that I've been seeing, some of the research, it wasn't good at all. So hopefully he clocks in here real quick. I'm already going to dock his pay. It's getting kind of crazy. Other than that, just trying to keep up on what's going on with the Ukraine-Russia deal. I'm still kind of in a blur. I'm hearing, you know, a couple different things on different networks. I don't watch a whole lot of the mainstream media. I kind of do a little bit of research. I'm hearing some positive moves happening. I'm hearing some negative moves happening. So I quite don't know what the truth videos surfacing up on social media that I told were fake videos from years before. So, you know, I really don't know the truth behind some of that stuff. So I'm still doing research on that. You know, of course, I hope and pray everybody in Ukraine's safe and kind of gets out of the way. From what I'm told, I don't think Russia's over there for the Ukrainians, the civilians at all. So, but like I said, I don't have facts on that stuff. So I really don't want to put myself in. Well, since he's here now,
you know what? I never hit the enter the studio button. How about that?
Well, guess what?
I was calling you late.
I'm not going to hit your paycheck button either.
It's funny because I was sending you messages. Why are you late?
I just touched on a little bit about the Ukraine thing because I don't have a lot of facts on that, Thomas. I'm reading two different types of reports. I'm reading bad, bad, bad. And then some reports I'm reading where he's, you know, Putin's not trying to harm civilians and it's good, good, good for what he's taken out over there, which is not civilians. It's not neighborhoods. So I don't know. Like I was telling the audience, I don't know the facts on that. So I really don't want to speculate one or the other. I'm just going by what I've read on both sides. So
anytime you're getting any type of conflict news, you have to be careful what you're believing, because both sides are going to play it up like they're the victim. I really am amazed. I have a real issue with this because I have a teenage son and I don't want to be talking about war, but here's my take on it. Okay. I think that he's nuts. And he's a murderer, and he's not going to stop with this. This has some familiar, it's a little bit familiar to the Hitler issue because it's in the same area, kind of in the same area, and it's the same kind of mindset. Everyone wants to just hope that this isn't going to escalate. I don't know if Ukraine, you know, we already know they're a little bit corrupt, so I'm not sure how much I buy of what he's saying either. But I do know this. If he goes through there, I don't know why he's playing around with it. That has a weird take to me. I don't know why he's messing around with something that makes him look weak. It, right now, it's making him look like an idiot so far.
Well, now, and I've heard and I've read that side too, but I also read sides where he actually quoted a paragraph from what Martin Luther King Jr. Quoted about, you know, civilian people and how to get along with everybody. A letter I read, which it was from the Russia embassy in Canada. Like I said, I don't know if it's 100% true, but the letter was letterhead was from the Russia embassy in Canada, and they talked about it. And at the very bottom, the last sentence, I have a copy of it on my phone. The last sentence says, "This is not a war." And what I read is that he's taken, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the United States built like 12 or 15 bioweapon lab storage buildings over there in Ukraine, mm-hmm. where a few of them were close to Russia. Well, from what I'm getting, from what I'm reading, and a couple different sources now, it's just not one.
Right.
He's not dumbfounded to this coronavirus because Russia went through it too. And he's totally fed up with the corruption. He knows the West, which I assume he's talking about us.
Right.
It's corrupt. He talks about the media's corrupt. And he wants to put an end to the child kidnappings and you know, missing children. So he was first started taken out with prestige weapons. It said did not target no civilians, will not target any civilian neighborhoods, homes. Their own... Ukrainian military is blowing missiles off by hospitals, schools,
right,
people's houses, and it says that they're using the Ukrainian people as human shields. So
yeah, you can see he's even bombing apartment complexes. I mean,
I don't know if that's him though. That's the thing.
Well,
the Ukraine military come out firing like crazy, and like they're shooting off missiles and stuff by schools and hospitals and so, but like I said, once again, we don't know for a fact. I mean, there's a couple different sources, and we don't know which one's true. It's like spin the arrow and see where it lands, like pin the tail on a donkey.
Well, you know? Considering we can't believe our own media, I don't know what to believe about anything. So right. I can't even trust my own media, which is really kind of neighboring on what you would call fake news is because I was watching. Well, no, first of all, I got to tell you, I went to Florida for work, you know, and every week I seem to be able to have a story of my stupidity from traveling. So I got to start it off on a light note because God almighty, I mean, who has this much? I'm not even flying like around the world. I'm flying to Florida. It's like a 2-hour flight. You would think I was like, boy, the military would not want me around. I'd be getting code red every 5 minutes.
But they'd be dropping you up in the hot box.
I'll be in the front of the line. So Trump, go a little bit further, a little bit further, right there. Wolf your arms like this. But I get on the plane to go home, and everything's wow. I actually say again. Wow, hard part's over. So I get into Pittsburgh early because my son has a big tournament game. Got up at 4:30 in the morning just to make sure if anything happened, I'd have some time in between the game. I get to the parking area. The shuttle takes me down. I can't find the car keys to my car to drive home. Oh, I left them in Florida.
What?
Yeah. So Gary, I just started to just I'm calling myself all these names. What dumb blankety blank? There's enough hard things. I actually do this stuff to myself. Why did I not make sure where I put my car keys? So Here we go. Now I'm going to get a locksmith to come to.
Oh my God. Were they in the hotel room?
Yeah, we don't know. I called the hotel. They can't find it. I think I left it in the rental car.
Oh, geez.
So now we're getting close. Now it's 3 o'clock. Now it, these people can't, they're not showing up. Now I'm yelling at that guy. He's now hanging up on me. So now I call an Uber. I'm going to Uber my way home and worry about the car the next day or whatever. While the Uber comes, here comes the guy who's going to make me a key at the same time. So now I go, could you wait for I see if he can make me a key? Yeah, no problem. Now I got the Uber guy waiting. This guy plugs in all of his equipment, tells me, sorry. But I go, man, just get this done. I go, but I got an Uber because you guys are late. He goes, well, whatever you're going to pay the Uber, you could. I go, oh, I'll pay him $150. So I make this great deal. He goes, wow, that's a lot. I go, well, he's driving all the way to Vienna. He doesn't know where Vienna is. He could be on the other side of the planet. So he's over there. He plugs in the thing, you know, where I have to figure out the car. He has underneath there. He goes, your fuses are all blown. I go, you cannot. I'm gonna carjack somebody in the parking lot here in a minute. That's how mad I'm getting. And he's like, laying there, and I'm trying to move all my. Do you have the book for the car? Yeah, it's in here somewhere. I can't find it, and the hits just keep on coming. So he goes, wait, I got one more try. Now he's trying all these different because it's a chip key. It's not a regular key. He's trying to put the computers, got all this stuff all over my car. This dude at the last second finds the right one.
Oh my God!
I give the Uber guy $20, and this guy took $150 off the other thing, and I'm on the road. Oh my God. But if you're gonna have a disaster, what a great ending of a disaster. The Uber guy doesn't get much money. This guy takes $150 off of the $250, and I got all that done in the parking lot, and I got in the game early.
Well, that's good.
But how about if I just don't do all that and we just drive home calmly without me yelling at Ange and yelling at the kid. Now I'm yelling at this guy. Who needs that much drama? I don't. Apparently I do.
You're getting a little older, bro. Your blood pressure's gonna start screaming.
And then I went to the game and I'm standing up screaming at the game, and my friend Madman Uhas is bouncing at the door and he sends me a message. Dude, settle down. I don't want to have to throw you out of here. I go, bring your guys up here right now. Come on up here. And we had a big laugh at that. But we ended up winning. It was a nail biter, man. That was a long day. We did win.
Because of your son Vince's awesome career in high school basketball, and the picture that I seen on Facebook really upset me because Vince was the only one with his hand on his chest. And then you got these other kids next to him. I don't know what they were told, but their hands are behind their back. And I had to post something like, you know what? Good for Vince, but these other kids, their parents need their teeth knocked out.
And boom, there you go.
Right into Facebook jail. I'm in Facebook jail now for 6 days. Now, even on my second account.
How does that happen, though? I mean, are they watching you? Usually somebody has to, like, report that, right?
I don't know. They probably got my ass flagged, dude.
Yeah, I think that might be it.
I had, like, five different screen names, and I got rid of them.
You got them all?
No, I just got two now, but they got those two. Gary Jenks and Gary James, yeah.
They got them, both of them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can go on and see stuff, and I can hit people on Messenger. I just can't post nothing on Facebook for 6 days.
You can hit likes? You can do that?
No.
Did you see that thing where I posted Mark Curran put, and I shared his post? Flat out lie. CNN's video, they dated it, the same video. They finagled it so it looked like a... I had to take that off. Or I was going to get kicked off. He made me delete it.
I got this little meme. It's got Zuckerberg looking over a wall and he says, you better not be free speeching in here.
Boy, ain't that the... But you know what? I want to do like a shout out here because I got some friends and you know, so they haven't figured out yet that when you get a topic and you say Trump and oil, and Google is going to give you 50 of what they want you to know. None of it is real. The first 50 you get is the fact-checking shitbags that are nothing more than the liberal police that just...
Yeah.
These people, oh, look what I see. And I tell them, you have to get down a lot further than that to get some truths. Because
I think I read that when you were posting that to somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I think I did read that. They just stop right there at Huffington Post, stop right there at CNN, stop with the
New York Post.
Yeah, did so-and-so really say that? And the fact checker says no. Oh my God, that's gotta be gospel.
Oh yeah. I go to DuckDuckGo and I don't know. Excuse me. Somebody told me that search engine is a little bit more easy. It's not as liberal, but
they also don't follow you around after you look up something.
No, that's they don't. But yeah. And I've looked up stuff on Google, got one answer, looked up the same thing on DuckDuckGo, got the totally opposite answer. So I kind of resulted that a little bit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I kind of resulted that a little bit more. But you can also go, if you go on your Facebook page, which I told quite a few people this, and it does work. You go down into your settings and then where you block people, if you type in fact checker, they'll all come up. You just got to block them one at a time. But I blocked like 36 or 37 one night.
No way.
You can actually block them. There's fact checkers. You just type in fact checker.
Well, let me ask you this, the credibility. I'm going to give you a couple scenarios as far as credibility. So when they find a big box of ballots in somebody's garage and you count them and mysteriously 70,000 for Biden and zero for Trump, you don't have to be much of a conspiracy theorist to think that's a little odd that every ballot was for him and act as if this was on the up and up. And this voting rights thing is called the voting cheat. There's nothing nothing in it that has anything to do with rights of voting. It's the right to cheat. That's all it is.
And I'm not trying to be disrespectful by any means to the resident in the White House. I'm not going to call him president. But I watched a clip of the State of the Union, and that man was talking about Ukraine, how peaceful people were. And then he says, the people in Iran are so loving. I'm like, what did he just say? He said Iran. Like, he was talking about Ukraine. And he's just out there.
But Freudian slip.
Nancy Pelosi's like this, grinding her teeth like she's on drugs. She's like,
did you frame those three? Now think about this.
Oh my gosh.
Here's three people on my TV. All the smart people, all the brilliant people, the people with business minds, people, and those are the three stooges that are on my TV together with Biden in the front, that stupid horse face, Harris. Oh my God. She is like
she looks like a dude. She looks like a man.
She is a dude. And then you got that plastic face. Pelosi looks like she's on another planet. And I'm thinking, this is the best we could come up with in our country to represent us.
She looked like she was doing gummers. She's like,
I mean, just like, I'm like, and she's like, like, I just had to keep turning the channel. I couldn't take
and it. Biden, listen, you ever catch a skit of Jeff Dunham, the ventriloquist guy? Check out Walter. It looks just like Joe Biden. He actually does a skit with Walter dressed up like Joe Biden. He squints. Yeah, you got that. It's funny as hell. When I was watching it,
and I heard this. Is he actually like ripping off the Make America Great Again? He's got his own version of it. Buy America. What in the heck? And then just the lie after lie, I'm just sitting there going, yeah, the crime. You want people to be safe. Weren't you the ones out saying get rid of the cops? I mean, just one.
Well, how about
the jobs number? How about that one? That was a good one. And yeah, you know what? I want to say this to people that are watching. You have zero credibility when not one, think about this. So for 4 years, not one newspaper or media found a good thing to write about Trump. Nothing.
Nuh-uh.
And so how much credibility do you have that in 4 years, so anything you say is skewed to your part of the liberal mess. You can't even say something that's good. You can't even give them, he did this.
That's true. They can't say anything that's true. Can't.
And this idiot clown has done nothing but wrong, and you can't come out and even say that. So to the people that Fox News, FAUX News, my God, are you kidding me? And you're actually going to defend this marketing team for the Democrat Party. It's pathetic.
It's just because
credibility's gone.
Trump.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. They hate Trump.
Because he was mean-spirited. But you'd rather pay double for gas, and you're going to pay out the you-know-what for utilities pretty soon. But that's okay.
Gas right here in Tampa is $3.79. $3.69 this morning. I got off work, come home, $3.79. Almost $3.80 a gallon now.
I remember pumping gas.
I was just telling the audience before you decide to join us late.
I was here early, man. I'm IT challenged.
I was just telling him, though, that his approval rating after this State of the Union was not good, but the mainstream media is still saying that he touched on all aspects and he did a well job.
See, that's what I mean. Why can't you just every now and then just be honest for one and make it look like you at least have some ability to be in the middle where you just, he says something, it comes out like horse shit, and you just clean it up behind him as he goes. I mean, it's just pathetic.
Well, I think they're told what to say. And they probably money to do that.
Well, they're not really journalists. They are hacks from the party. That's who runs these things, and that's all they do. But I mean, you can't even come up with one daggone thing when this guy hasn't done one thing right, and you can't even like make it look like you're actually not favoring a side. But I mean, for people not to see that, then you're not really looking for anything. You're really somebody that there's no argument to have with you. If you can't see that, you can't give me that, there's no reason to talk anymore. And all we need to do here, really, Gary, is turn the spigots on, and that'll end Putin's game like that. Because if we turn our oil back on and take away their customers, that would hit them like you can't believe. But we're not going to do that.
China. Well, they're going to hit them with sanctions.
Yeah, that Joe Biden said, those aren't going to work right away. That's going to take a long time. Did you hear him say that? He's not going to go.
No, I didn't watch sanctions. It.
No, this was when the sanctions first started. Well, these sanctions are going to take time, man. Yeah, that's what we have. God. We have a lot of time in this one. We have a God dang it.
Listen, I mean, I say believe in your faith. And, because there, like you said, there's people that don't want to hear it, and you can't argue, and I personally won't argue with them. I'll be like, eventually you're going to see what's the truth. I mean, because, listen, we didn't have $3.80 a gallon of gas the 4 years Trump was in office. I don't care what they say, what they do, they cannot show me anything where it was that high.
No, it wasn't even close.
Job approval.
We had fracking.
I think he has a master's degree in economics. Joe Biden don't have a master's degree in breathing.
But all of his policies, every single one of them aren't working. So
no, they haven't.
And then all we had was this. I mean, do you think this plays out that we're this stupid? 3 days before the State of the Union or whatever the heck that was, all the masks are coming off. We're going to Fauci's disappeared into thin air. Where's that idiot been? We did the mask up.
That's a good question because I don't know. I don't know where he's at.
No, they kicked him off. They kicked him to the curb because the only reason, and I'm going to make another prediction. You have not seen the last of all this stuff. They just don't want to lose at these midterms. They don't want to get beat too bad. and then they're going to kick this back up. There's no way they're letting go of controlling us. That's not going to happen. Yeah,
they're not going to be like, okay, we're caught. It's over.
Yeah, we're done. We were wrong. That's never going to happen. Because
until there's arrest made for the election fraud, for the spying on the Trump before he was president and spying on him while he's until there's arrest made, I really can't believe anything. I can read and research all I want, but like I'll be driving my truck to work in the morning. I'll listen to X-22 report, and I like Dave. He's got some good career, but he'll say straight out if he ain't sure, he doesn't have facts, but this is what he's hearing through his sources. But I get mad. You hear me yell in my truck by myself. Like I'll be driving. I'm like, well, when are they gonna do something about it? I get tired of hearing everything they did wrong and nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Don't you get mad?
Yeah, and I get tired of it just being good radio fodder. So it makes for a good show that we sit around and bitch. But you know why? Because you know the R for Republican, you know what that stands for? Rollover. Because they don't do anything. Yeah, that's really. All they are. They're nothing. Every day Trump went to work, he had a bunch of Democrats fighting his every move. We don't fight nothing. We're a rollover group just looking to get reelected. And that's the other R, reelection. That's it. It's got nothing to do with a party doing anything.
I think they call those type rhinos.
Yeah.
And
it's the rhino rollover.
Here's the thing, too. When midterms happen, I mean, there's already like 30 people that left Democrats that left Congress that ain't going to run for reelection. Mm-hmm. So I just read that there was 33 people that Trump backed. I want to say in Texas, I'm not quite sure, but it might be in Texas, and all 33 won. So right now, I believe the Democrats are screaming, scared.
But look how they're doing. They're actually they're now fighting amongst themselves. This Vance, the Republicans are really good about fighting against themselves, but not the other party. But they're now playing tapes of what these candidates said back when it was popular to rip on Trump. And now they're trying to get back on his wagon. Oh, just a year ago, you said you're embarrassed, and now you're a Trump candidate. These guys have no shame.
None.
Just whatever it takes to just win an election. Yeah, that was me lying.
Dear Tucker Carlson, he was talking about McCarthy that was in the State of the Union. He was in the audience.
Yeah.
He was sitting there doing something with his mouth, too. Like, and he stood up. He had a Ukraine flag on his lapel, not even an American flag. He had a Ukraine. It's like, these people, man, just... And I'm sure it was all for the TV, because the news is, oh my gosh, poor Ukraine, Russia, but...
You know what, though, Gary? I just think, that's too that's too positive of a comment. Let's see. Let's hope that we're watching this Ukraine thing and actually having some spirit of our own, that these people are fighting to the death against an opponent that's way bigger, way stronger, and you're choosing to fight for your freedom. You don't want no deal from Putin. You don't want nothing. You don't want to ride home. How about Biden? I'll sneak you out of here if you want. I don't want to ride. I want weapons, is what his return was to that. Look at us, China, sneaky. I tell you what, I'll get you out of here so you could turn your back on your own country like I do. Thanks, Joe. We know you would.
Yeah, he's...
But maybe we can see what freedom really costs. This is what freedom really costs, for real. You're watching it on TV. Husbands leaving their families to go fight for their country and dying and maybe never see him again. That's the reality. We don't even know what any of that's like. I just think he's going to go through. He's going to take that. He's going to take the border. I think he's going to go through Poland. I think he's going to keep going till he hits the Berlin Wall.
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to come clean and tell and make it known why he was there. And I think it's because of the corruption and those bio labs that the United States built in their country close to his border. And he's had enough with the coronavirus, from what I read. Mm-hmm. And he's taken those out. So, I mean, that could all be a farce, too. I'm not saying that's.
I don't know. I think you might be on to something because the whole thing is odd to me. Because why are you letting Russian-owned media broadcast these people and their narratives ripping on the country? Why would you let that go on? There's something weird here about this. I just don't know what it is. It doesn't make any sense.
Master Thomas, you're supposed to know all. We know nothing, no. But I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you something.
This one's got me.
This is what I thought, and I've been thinking about this a lot. I think after the Olympics, China's President Qing, whatever his name is, I think he's going to remove the corruption out of Taiwan. That's what I think. And then everybody keeps saying Israel is going to be last because Israel, they're the last one in the Bible. Yeah, I don't think we are going to go to war. Let's just cross our fingers with these models. I don't know. But I think it's going to happen with a lot of different countries because, it's a known fact. The deep state and the corrupt is far and wide. It's not just in the United States. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's a global movement.
That blonde-headed guy over in England that shut them down, made them wear a mask, and he's out without wearing a mask. Who was that guy? Boris, what's his name, Boris?
Boris Karloff?
No, the blonde-haired dude. I think he's a pirate. Anyway, he's so far left. It's crazy.
What happened to the truckers? What happened to the truckers? What happened to that story? It just like faded off.
They're by Indiana right now, and they're like 10,000 strong, if not more. I just read that this morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're 10,000 strong, if not more, and they're either in Indiana or coming up on Indiana. Oh, they're going to Washington, bro.
Where did the Canadian truckers go?
I don't know. After I heard that he was using bank accounts and stuff, I don't know what old Trudeau Castro did.
Yeah, Trudeau.
You know he's the son of Fidel Castro?
No, I did not know that.
He's the son of Fidel Castro. And Tucker even talks about it.
Trudeau is?
Yes. Are
you kidding me?
Nope. He's the son of Fidel Castro.
Oh, he's the son of something.
Where's he from? Cuba?
Yeah.
Castro? I believe. Yeah,
Cuban.
Yeah, that is his son.
He's a son of something. I can tell you that.
Talk about music.
Huh? What?
Can we talk about music?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I do want to talk about music. I do want to talk about that. I'm not kidding you. I want to get back. I want to do a little. You got a studio at your house, or where do you guys go play?
You mean rehearse?
Yeah.
We usually go to my guitar player's house over in Hubbard, Brian's. I just
drive all the way to Hubbard to practice?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not bad.
That's right up here. That's right near me. I'd like to check out the practice here and there, right next to me.
Anyway, what I was saying was...
Anyways, thank you for that. We'll take a long look at that. And something about that. Yeah, thank you.
As far as the music, like when you and I first started, it just so happens that then I started playing shows for you, and we argue, and that little Italian guy's running around, I'm chasing him down. I'd have to say those are probably one of the better highlights of my music career out of 36 years is those days of the Mahoney Valley Ribbird.
It is. And you know what? You've had a lot. I can't even tell you. But you've had a lot of moments. And I mean, if you just sit back and think about all the stuff that used to go on prior to the Covelli Center, a lot of stuff, bro. I mean, people used to be able to do these things back when people drank and drove.
Right. Yeah, it was easy.
But we would just pack it in no matter what you did. But and to think that every year, if you think about it, as soon as that show was over, we were starting the next year's show. I mean, as soon as that show ended, you got right back on that and start getting the sponsors, figuring out what acts are going through. And Man, I get
not
to
me, man.
I get to
I didn't worry about that garbage so far.
I know, but I know you didn't give a crap about that. But you know, I go to Vegas and all the showcases, you know, I get tickets too because they want you to buy their stuff. And I mean, most people just sat there and kind of was blah blah blah. I would sit in the front row and just like every minute of it, I would just be so excited to be sitting there while these guys are playing all kinds of different, you know, Poco. I go down the line of how many different 10cc, a lot of the 70s, 80s stuff that I would be sitting there. Nobody else cared about.
A lot of oxygen tanks. A lot of oxygen tanks.
I know, but back then they weren't oxygen yet. They were just had the respirators.
People sitting in the front row going.
Yeah. And then me going, hey, either drink beer or get your oxygen tank out of the way.
What was one of your the Mahoning Rally, Mahoning Valley Rib Burnoff at the Eastwood Mall? Like, what was one of your most highlighted shows that you brought there and put on? Like, what one really stood out to you? And when you really know, yes, we did, we accomplished a good year this year. Like, show was that?
When we did Charlie Daniels, and I couldn't get the people in. And looking out over that wave of people, I mean, it just kind of gave me goosebumps because I knew we were doing well. I mean, at that point, you can't go wrong. It was beautiful weather. And I just remember thinking, all this work and all these idiots and all these roadies and goofballs and all came together when it was over. Like, oh, man, this is it. But it was one of those things. And you know what I mean, too. You hate it, but you love it. You know, I mean, yeah. I'd be like mad yelling, but that's what I do. So it was like all part of the fun is, what are you guys doing? How about if I come over there and put my foot up your hind? Yeah, get that. You know, you just know that. Get your butt. What are you guys doing? Or how about the lights won't come on? Really? Is that right? How about turning your car around, put your lights on and shine it and do some work? How about that idea? What an innovative Jetsons idea that is.
I just want to give our audience one of my highlights, I should say, was my band Dillagaff. And it was weeks prior to Dominic decides to call me and ask for my opinion on bands that you mentioned and bands he mentioned. So he calls me up. I don't know what band you picked. I keep wanting to say like Kaja Goo Goo or something crazy. He goes, Gary, Dominic. I said, hey, Dom, what's going on? He goes, listen.
I wanted to do Nazareth, to be honest with you.
He goes, Saliva or Tears for Fears? I go,
Tears for Fears.
I go, you're joking, right? He goes, no, really. I go, Saliva all the way. Because Saliva was hitting it right then. They were hot on the market. Actually, we seen them at Ohio Bike Week in Sandusky, I think, the year after that. Anyway, then he goes, I told Tom that little son of a blah, 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 I told him. So he ended up bringing Saliva and you let us open the show up. Yeah. And as far as back as I could see past Bob Evans across the street, the old gold store, that furniture store.
Yep.
Oh, there's cars Dodson. Parked, people standing Dodson's furniture, people standing in the back of trucks. And then Larry says, when you guys are done, come back here and play in my restaurant. So we had to do a double take, but I just remember the people. The sea of people, it was crazy. And they were drinking. They were having a great time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my highlight of the Rib Burnoff.
To be real honest with you, I do you know, and you were right about that, but, you know, you always had to go down because you're talking about 2 hours of music. So as you're going down the list, like I'll just say like Nazareth, something like that, up really upbeat. Like you got to keep it like – fun. Like I always wanted to do Thorogood because they had all those drinking songs and that it just keeps people in that, you know, one bourbon, you know, you just everybody goes crazy. And you, but right. You can't, like, we were going to do Pat Benatar and I said, but Dominic, she has a couple of real, and then the rest of them are these I want to go call my girlfriend songs. Okay. I'm my wife left me song up. You start going, no, yeah. You can't do that. But
no,
yeah,
you
start getting out of there. Oh, my love is a battlefield. Oh, my drugs get going, honey. I'm, I'll come on my way right now. Bob's not a battlefield.
Yeah, but I see you're coming from.
Like I always thought Billy Squire would be a really good rib fat. You know, he's got about 7-8 real upbeat kick butt saw. You know,
the funny one, man. You guys had Flock of Seagulls in the back by the stadium, and that guy come out. He had to be 60 years old. He still had that same hairdo,
same identical hairdo. And I'm in the car with my heater on. It was so cold. I go beep beep beep. Yeah, I know beep.
Got your hand out the window.
Beep beep beep.
I mean, they were good though. No, I was surprised. They were good. They were so good.
I tell you what, we did a show at the expo. Larry, Mr. Cheapskate. I hope he's watching. Cheapskate. We ended up getting this really good deal on the Fix. And they're coming through and they're on their way to Cleveland. We get them at the expo for $5,000. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And Mr. Sports was all excited. We're trying to, and Larry doesn't promote it at all. I got the Fix up on the expo board. That's all I got. Nobody, and probably 500 people saw one of the best shows. I mean, in the expo, acoustics not that good. So right away, right. You've got, but they, I mean, just like this. Just right on the button. Even Tommy was a little then. He goes, "Wow, I really like this." I mean, they were that good. It was that, and I thought, "What a horrible!" You know, these guys came in, and they see like Hillbilly Haven, 50 people. Larry's out there with his, you know, cut off jean shorts and stuff. And they could have just said, "What the flip are we doing?" What? I mean, I go, Gary wouldn't even play for this crowd. I mean, come on.
Get off denim shorts.
It's just like nerd ball city out there. I'm looking around going, oh, my God.
That's funny.
Go ahead, guys.
Those were good times, though. Those were good times, man. I mean,
Do you know what? And you notice, well, you don't notice, but a lot of suicides in the music industry, a lot of weird death. Think about it. Like in excess. You're on top of the world. You're out, people. And then when you're on that down and you got to see like your old tapes of when you were relevant, now you can't 500 people at the expo center. Man, let's hide the, you guys, I mean, you better hide the 357 out there because, you know, you get out. I'll see you guys there. Nice crowd. It's like, oh my God. It's got this.
It's got to be tough.
It's got to be. Because I mean,
even on a local level in a cover band, I mean, we draw good crowds. But when they start dwindle, you either got to do one or two things. You got to change up your set list and rehearse and get better.
Yeah, right.
Or you need to put your bass away and go home. But that's, well, you know, I mean, because it's hard to get clubs to pay you now. So if you ain't pulling nobody, you probably are not going to get paid.
Well, you have done that. You have, moved around a lot in the industry, and I think that's what makes it relevant is keeping things going, because when you can't change what you're doing, it'll change it for you.
I mean, we try to stay up on it like we did.
You're on that show. Yeah, you're on that same track. You're going to end up running into a train. That's just something nobody likes to change things, and they but you could just see it happening, like some of the area bands, and that it's the same dang 10 people follow them around wherever they go, and then it just starts to go back, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you see Jonah Coslin's coming to Robin?
I did see that. It's, you know, what is it? It's with that little kid, right?
Yeah. And you know what? He's there, part of the Resonators still, but he did that. Remember when they broke it? You're going to be taking it back. Remember Coslin went and did a group called Breathless? I love that song. That was a great song.
Here's my question. Why wouldn't is his name Coslin?
Jonah Coslin.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he do something with like Gary Markowski, who was part of it?
You know what? Because that bugs me, but I know Kevin Rawley does a lot of Hollywood stuff. He was one of the Michael Stanley band that had the hits.
Yeah, I was friends with. I'm friends with him on Facebook when I can talk to him. I'm not in jail.
Kevin Rowling? Kevin?
Yeah, I'm friends with him on Facebook. And he is good, player, man. Michael Gismonti. Yeah. Super nice guy.
That daggone Kevin Rowling, when I'm holding you tight, man, he had that on the heart. What was the Cabin Fever? Who? Yeah, wasn't it him that had the big hit? He Can't Love You. That was Kevin Rowling, too.
Is that Cabin Fever?
I don't know. I think it was Heartland. Oh, was it Heartland?
It might have been Heartland.
Yeah, because it was the newer
one.
That
was a great album.
That was. It's just amazing. Do you know how good you got to be? Because when people make fun of one-hit wonders, do you know how good you got to be to have one hit? Do you know how lucky you got? With all the musicians, Gary, I've played with a bunch. You've played with a million. Really great. And that's like a grain of sand around the whole world, and you get one box of people that got famous and made music that people know what it is, and they only had a couple hits. Really? And how many hits did you have again? I mean, look at Michael Stanley Band. That was a great band. They had one song get into like the top 30, like a couple songs. That's it.
The sad thing about it is they weren't even known from the Midwest.
I know. They played.
They sold out Cleveland Coliseum back-to-back nights, Friday and Saturday night, sold it out.
And as soon as they crossed the Mason-Dixon line, they booed them off the stage when they were opening up for ZZ Top in Texas.
Wow.
Booed them off the stage.
I mean, I've talked to people that, you know, I had relatives that lived out past Chicago, and I'd say, yeah, we're going to see Michael Stanley. And they're like, who's that?
Who the hell's that? Like, yeah.
He's always a local guy.
MSB! What the heck's MSB? Yeah.
I mean, I think there was a couple of their albums on Atlantic, so I mean, they were national, but I think it had something to do with their management that wouldn't let them go that far.
Had to be something because they had enough talent to sink a ship.
Michael Elkin, I think. But that's a shame. What a great band, man. Them guys, they were good.
And then I was actually listening to Nazareth when I was driving from Florida. That was like the first AC/DC Brian Johnson voice.
Yeah, it was.
When I started listening to that, I'm thinking, it's like, what was that, Changing Times? I love that song. That was a great song.
That album that Now You're Messing With.
Yeah, that was on that too. Yeah,
that's a great album.
It is.
That whole album's pretty good.
Really, really strong rock song. I mean, then they just kind of fizzled out, but he just left the band not that long ago. He was still going along, that Scottish singer. And
then you think about when we were young, man. I mean, a lot of these artists now are passing away. The guy from Meatloaf has passed.
What I can't believe is when I go look at an age. Now, guess who I looked up? I couldn't believe how old he was. What was his Pina Colada guy that sang the Pina Colada song? Rupert Holmes. Rupert Holmes. I look it up. 76.
Oh my god!
Like, what the flip?
But think that's like Jay Ferguson, who does Thunder Island.
Yeah, I love that song.
He's up there in age too, man. I see some of these guys, I'm like, and then you look at Keith Richards, he looks like he's 203 years old, but he's still touring.
Bro, there's a perfect example. Don't tell me about eating vegan and drinking water and prune juice. He's still kicking at 80 years old on scotch whiskey, cigarettes, and coffee, and whatever else.
Right. And listen, he looks it. But that man is still torn. He's got to be close to 80.
Oh, he's every bit close to. Heck, they were. The Stones were before Rupert Holmes, I think, was a teenager when the Stones were starting.
I think the Stones were before I was born, 64.
For sure they were. So they got to be close.
There's some old dudes.
Got to be.
But. Then there's those ones, the guy from Meatloaf, I don't think he was in his 70s yet, but he passed.
Yeah, but when when they call you Meatloaf, there's a sign that you might not get to 80, I'm thinking.
High cholesterol.
Yeah. When your nickname is beef or meatloaf or chicken bone, yeah, you're probably
chicken bone.
You're probably not gonna...
What was that Indian band? There was something bone. They were on Dick Clark's show. I seen a video on social media. They were Indians and they were dressed like Indians, and it was something bone.
Really?
But they had one hit, as far as I remember. That song they played, it was one hit. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's like a guy's name. I can't remember though, but yeah, they were.
Wait a minute. I've seen them in Vegas.
Something bone, like a guy's name.
Oh, wait a minute.
Ham bone or something.
Oh, wait a minute. Why can't I remember that? I know what you're talking about. I'll think of it as soon as I get off the dang air.
Now, that was years ago. I mean, back in Dick Clark days, back, you know, probably.
Was it the song Cherokee People or something?
No, that's Cher and Sonny Bono.
No. It was Cherokee Nation. No, it was a band. I seen them in Vegas. They dressed like Indians. I can't remember the name.
Yeah. Cherokee People was Sonny and Cher.
No, Sonny and Cher. She was singing Gypsy. She was singing about gypsies, not Cherokee.
Gypsy Phantom.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. Well, Gary, I think we went over, but always talking.
We're good, but I'm just glad you got to join us today. I'm marking on your time clock that you were late stepping in.
Yeah, I was here with Ben Franklin behind me on time, 15 minutes early.
It was crazy because a couple things I touched on for the audience before you.
What did I miss?
Nothing. We touched on it.
Okay.
We touched on the Ukraine thing. We touched on his State of the Union.
Now here, I want to do this right now because I told Joe Daniel I would do it. Our next Thursday is studio call-in. I want to just now, I got a big long list of stuff. And between now and then, like you always say, give us some topics. I don't want to just keep harping on the same stuff that all.
Yeah, I don't either.
It gets to be a cymbal clanging in my ear.
Let the audience ask us questions of whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that. Yeah. Well, what we'll do is we'll start off with a couple topics, something of the day. I want to talk about actually, like on the show, I want to talk about what happened in history on this day. I love that stuff because, man,
I wanted to touch on the NFL, but maybe we'll catch up with that next week.
Yeah, I love what today in music, like just go back, what happened cool on today in 19, whatever. I want to do some of that too. I think that's cool. Those stories and that, and how bands got together, and the weird thing, a guy singing at the gas station, Benny Mardones, and the guy just happened to be in there that was an agent. That's God stuff there, man. That's good stuff.
Divine, to talk about.
Yeah, that's divine meetings and divine appointments. And I always believe
in
that.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll do it. Oh, what, in studio?
Yeah. Yeah, so we can get the call in and do it, right?
Yeah, we can do that.
Man, the phones and stuff. Yeah, that'd be good. All right,
Gary. I want to thank Ronnie Williams for the intro music.
Yeah, I love that, Ronnie. I love that.
And Joey for his awesome production work and engineering the show. And it's your turn.
I want to thank my co-host, Gare Jenks. He's a man of a million names on Facebook because he has to do that. But I really do appreciate
Gary James.
Yeah, I don't even know what to call you. Gary Jazz, something with a J at the end.
Right.
But I do appreciate you, and I talk to you whether we're on the show or not. So I'll be talking to you before the next show. Trust me.
Your leg is mutual, my friend.
All right, man. Say hi to Zach.
Have a good night, brother.
You too, bro. Thank you.